Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, you are now tuned in to the real Sean Ross Talk Show and Jam Session with Sean MacDaddy Ross. And yours truly, DJ Sir J Boogie. Let's go!
Sean Ross. Sean Ross. Sean Ross from No Limit.
And you tuned in.
Sean Ross.
And you tuned in.
Mean team in the building.
Mean team.
Sean Ross.
Mean team.
Sean Ross. Mean team in the building.
Central State and Omega Psi Phi, stand up.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
You're listening to eWater Radio, KEWR-DB.
Hey, welcome to the real Sean Ross Live Radio Talk Show and Jam Session. We got a hot show for y'all, ladies and gentlemen, tonight. Oh, Lisa Stewart, are you in the building, Lisa? My co-host with the most PR out of Los Angeles, California. Oh, you know, we going to rock and roll. And I got another co-host. She is all I got to say, little glow is in the building. A beat led girl, Dr. Anne Marie Shuttlesworth. And she'll be one of the commentators for the team, along with Lisa, because, you know, the show is about, you know, sisterhood. And this sister circle is so phenomenal. This group right here is phenomenal. It is my village. I am blessed and highly favored to have them all in the building. So you know what I'm going to do? I just want to do the intro, and then I'm going to get out the way, because I know Little Glow and Lisa, I know y'all got a lot of questions, and I'm just going to get ready for the hot seat. Fair enough. Fair enough. Dr. Marie Shuttlesworth, a.k.a. Little Glow. Are you in the building, Little Glow?
You know it, you know it. We're missing for the world. Excited about tonight.
All right. So give it up, y'all. I'm going to run through this. You know what? I'm going to run through this, and then I'm going to let y'all take it away. Let me introduce y'all to the sister circle. Oh, my village. And first one I'm solving off with the B-Day girl in the building. My auntie, Roseanne Brown. Okay, let me tell you a little something about her. Retired from a career of marketing and customer service manager at AT&T, as well as 17 years as police information officer, public spokesman, and chief of staff for the city of Riviera Beach. Currently CEO of On the Point Consulting Group, a full-service public relations firm, Ms. Brown serves in a leadership capacity of several female houses of Prince Paul Masonry. Okay, Lighthouse, the Blue House is definitely in the building on this show. And one of my Mason brothers, they are definitely in the building. We're going to talk about that later. Mother of four adult and over 25 grand and great grand, and a godmother to many youth in the community. Can y'all say amen? Come on now. Come on, Lisa. Let's go. Hey, we fired up. Hurry. All right, okay. Also, part of the session, let me also introduce to some and to present to others, Phyllis Gillespie, Esquire, former registered nurse. Oh, thank you for your service. Bachelor of Science in Nursing, Juris Doctorate of 1997, Director of Medical Malpractice Department of Gary Williams. Is that right? Parenty? I want to make sure I get it right. I hope I said it right. Okay. Perry Watson and Gary, firm of the Super Law Willie E. Gary in Stroud, Florida, doing the best. And also, let me get this right, y'all. President and Treasure Coast, Florida chapter of the Lynx Incorporated, member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, board member of, oh my goodness. I'm going to need some help with this one now. The Frozen Pharaoh Foundation, Inc., and Helping People Succeed, Inc., mother of two adults. Give it up for Miss Phyllis Gillespie in the building. Okay, DST is. is in the building, y'all. Can y'all feel me now? All right. Next on the table, that's part of the sister circle. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for my auntie. Oh, my, I love them all. I'm so nervous here. I don't know what to do because, you know, they know the Wilson button takes some names. But give it up for Miss Mamie Hampton Kistner. Okay, let me tell you something about this young lady. Mamie Hampton Kistner is a woman on a mission to help others understand the struggle of justice continues. The middle child of nine children was raised by her parents, Thomas Hampton and Dorothy Von Hampton, to be confident, independent, but always give back to others. At the age of 14, she began to study the civil rights movement. That journey would bring her in contact with Honor Andrew Young, Congressman John Lewis, Congressman Alice Hastings, Congresswoman Maxine Waters, Corbett Scott King, and Zenona Clayton, the creator of the Trumpet Awards TV show. All of these civil rights icons have had an impact on her life. With a career in the airline industry, she helped integrate diversity in one of the largest carriers in the country. Building on those contacts, after retiring, she moved into a career of private commercial development. Currently, First Lady of the oldest African-American Baptist church in Palm Beach County, she continues to mentor and fight for justice around the country. Y'all give it up for Miss Mamie Hampton Kistner to the Sean Ross Live Radio Talk Show and Jam Session. Come on now. Come on, come on. Can I get a church? Somebody.
Congratulations.
All right, let me tell you. I got people trying to get in line, but let me keep going. And let me keep going. The next component of Sister Circle is the young lady who gave me birth. She's so young. I used to change her diapers. To God be the glory. Let's give it up to Miss Glory Shuttlesworth, retired over 30 years in public service, acting city manager, assistant city manager of Riviera Beach, assistant administrator of West Palm Beach, assistant to the safety director of the city of Cincinnati, executive director of Alice Paul House for Battered Women, shelter, bachelor of science at San Francisco State University, Army brat, and travel mother of five adults and grandchildren. Y'all give it up for my mother. My mother. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. She is in the building. The sister circle. I mean, is it going on? Y'all give it up. Can I get a church? Hello? 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 Hello?
Amen.
All right. All right. Let's get it. We working. And yet, last but least, let's give it up for my another auntie, Sandra Close Turnquest, is definitely in the building. First AA female state water management districts. I see a correction. I want to make sure I got this right. First AA female state water management district at the executive level. I am proud member. And she's a proud member. Oh, another one. Proud member of Delta Sigma Theta sorority. She also formed president of our chapter. She's a former president of the chapter. Former leadership positions, president of Sickle Cell Foundation of Palm Beach County, executive woman of the Palm Beaches and American Businesswoman Association, lifetime member of the NAACP and FAMU National Honors Association. She graduated from Florida Agriculture and Mechanical University with a bachelor's degree in political science and has a master's degree in public administration from Florida Atlantic University. All right, y'all, let's go. Let's give it up for Miss Sandra Turnquest in the building.
Yay.
Hey, ladies, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. At this point, all the lines are going. I think I got a special treat, y'all. A special treat. But I want to turn over. I want to turn over as I work on something. I'm turning it over to the two ladies that will be taking it from here because this is the Sister Circle edition. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Dr. Angela Marie Shuttlesworth, a.k.a. Little Glow, and also Lisa Stewart from the West Coast bringing it in. Ladies, let's go.
Hey, hey.
We are crazy excited about tonight, and we have an action-packed session for tonight, and we have topics that Sean says he handed it over to us, but he definitely left us in good hands and gave us some questions, and we're going to go ahead and dive right in. As we all know, this show is, as he calls it, a very safe space for us to talk about community and for us to build upon what matters most. and that's being there for each other, giving platform for the work that's being done, and celebrating and grieving together. So right now, the first thing that he wanted to know is, how are you all doing and how are you managing in the midst of this current pandemic with COVID-19 in your various capacities? If you want to go ahead and get us started, Ms. Brown, can you go ahead and tell us, how has this impacted your life?
Well, it's certainly given me a lot of time to think. It's given me rest that was sorely needed. But now it's also given me cause for pause, because in an age of information overflow, there's just no way to determine which information is accurate and good for me, or which information means me harm. So it's a time of rest, reflection, and trying to figure out what's real and what isn't. But all in all, I'm doing well, because I'm blessed to have a roof over my head. I'm blessed to have great friends and family to be a support system. So in spite of, all is well.
I mean, one of the things that one thing we know as Black people is how to be resilient. And so hearing you say that in the midst of it all, we still, as they say, still yet holding on. And so
yet holding on.
About, as Sean mentioned, Mrs. Mamie Chisna, about your work in social justice, can you speak to a little bit around how this has particularly impacted, or what you've seen with the Black and Brown community and also in the faith community? And then next we'll come over to Phyllis to talk to us about how it is impacting not only just healthcare that we've seen, like the nurses and the frontline workers, but also from a legal perspective as well. So, Mrs. Mamie Chisna.
Hi, Angie. Good to be
here. Hey,
with
hey,
you.
Hey.
Good evening. Hi, Lisa and Sean. It's so good.
Hey, Angie.
We do this on a weekly basis, just so you know. We get together on Zoom and talk about checking. Well, we check on each other and we talk about things that are going on in our community. Well, one of the things it's done for me is given me a lot of time to read and reflect on really what's going on in our community and how we can help by just picking up the phone and calling people and checking on them, seeing if they need something. But I think one of the things we've really got to focus on in our Black and Brown community is the fact that this virus is real. And it is taking us out of
yes.
the- And if we don't realize, most people are saying, well, you know, I'm invincible, don't worry about it. But this thing is real, and they don't know enough about it to even find a cure. And we have to make sure that we're getting ourselves tested, and we have to make sure that we're social distancing, because it's not just all about us. It's how we're affecting other people. And so right now, I think we need to realize that, you know, we're leaving here, and we're leaving here by the drove, because we're
yeah.
not, some of us are not taking this serious.
We're not taking it serious, exactly.
And I think that that, for me, is the message I'm trying to get out to people is, if you look at the statistics, they're saying every single day that the Black and Brown communities are the ones that are dying. And so we are the vulnerable population, and we have got to realize there are things that we can do to help ourselves, and that is testing and social distancing. You know, people worried about going to the beach. Well, you know, African Americans, when you look at these beaches, you don't see a lot of African Americans on the beaches. You know, we're trying to survive, keep a roof over our head, and keep food on our table.
Right.
And
I have one question.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm here in L.A. They have a testing. I've driven past three testing facilities within the Black community and Black and Brown community. That thing is empty. There's a level of trust that most people are saying, I don't trust the test because they could be giving it to us, because in the beginning we didn't have it. We didn't travel. We weren't really impacted from the beginning of it. We kind of came in at now, and now we became the highest infected. So what are your thoughts on that, to try to get people to trust these testing places?
Well, I think, quite honestly, we have to educate ourselves. Great question, Alyssa. We've got to read and educate ourselves. We can't just, like Roseanne said, we can't believe everything we're just hearing on the media. We've got to really dig deep into reading about what scientists are saying. You know, a lot of the propaganda is always put out there because we're the first that they pick on because we're the people of color. But to be honest with you, you know, we're the poorest of the community. We're the ones that are out there getting beaten up most of the time, and we're the ones with the low-paying jobs. And so in order for us to know what's going on, the scientists are telling us we need to get tested. And if we're not tested, we're carriers. And we don't. You have to assume that almost everybody is a carrier. If you don't know, at least if you know, you can know how to protect yourself from carrying it to someone else. And, of course, we all know that they're not going to put enough testing facilities in our neighborhood. We're normally the last to be tested. But there is a mistrust, and that mistrust is really warranted because of the way we've been treated for the last 400 years. Great, but I think we have to individually try to make our friends, our neighbors, we need to try to touch as many people as we can instead of just sitting at home and worrying about ourselves. We need to do outreach on a daily basis and try to educate as much as we can and ask people to read about what the scientists are saying. And that's, you know, really my opinion on this mistrust. There's always going to be mistrust.
And that's a thank you so much for that question, Lisa, because it is true. You know, we always go back to the Tuskegee experiment, and like you said, that mistrust is warranted. And so that's why it's important for us when we do have people that we do trust, because they have built that relationship over time. And we are very honored to have Ms. Phyllis Gillespie on the call, who can speak to us from a nursing perspective and seeing, again, from the legal side of that, what does even trust mean when we're talking about, you know, can we legally believe the government? You know, like, you know, from that point, you're like, well, who's responsible? Because, you know, you're going to hear people later on, like, I want to sue somebody because I walked into Publix and I got it from the cashier. It's like, you can't really prove that, right?
Right. Hey, good evening. Thank you for those questions. And thank you, Roseanne and Mamie, for your insightful comments. So your question to me is on two fronts. This is Phyllis. It's on two fronts. One, from a medical nursing perspective, what's going on, whether we can trust what's happening, the frontline workers, and then legally, what's the landscape we're going to see in the months coming. Well, one, to piggyback off of Mamie, the reason why there's a disparity in the Black community is because we are less likely to seek medical care until we are ill. So when you are going about, you're feeling ill, we push through. We push through. It's going to be okay. And what's happening is when we don't have access to medical care or we are more concerned about working and taking care of families and we put ourselves last, we ended up having more severe illness. And when you become more severely ill, of course, we know with this COVID virus that it attacks, and once it attacks, it quickly causes your body to deteriorate. So I believe a lot of what they're seeing as for African Americans is, one, we are not seeking health care in a timely manner. Two, we don't have access to health care. Many of the community health centers in our communities are not staffed or capable of treating the numbers of African Americans who may need to seek out treatment. So as to the disparity, I think that's what's driving a lot of it as far as us being infected. As to the whether we can trust the testing, it's true that the Tuskegee test with the syphilis is what really prompted our fear and distrust in the medical field of the testing. The problem with testing, my father's a cardiologist and he does a lot of studies, and he says what happens is African Americans, we don't get a good pool or sample of people to determine what medications work best for us because we are afraid to be part of clinical trials and studies. Unfortunately, that is the only way we're going to be able to develop medications that will be able to treat our disease that's, you know, specific, or find a treatment specific for us that works well in various diseases that affect our population, hypertension, diabetes, and things of that nature. So we have to, as Mamie indicated, we have to really read and look for solid principles and facts, listen to the scientists as opposed to people who are on various platforms giving their opinions. So we just have to really be careful, but we have to participate so that we can find treatment. And being tested is the best way to prevent spread to family members and others in your community, because that's what the spread is. And as you mentioned, in African Americans, but they also find in Latina communities, the same thing is happening. You know, large number, you're living with your parents, your grandparents, your kids, and you have a number of generations in one household or in close quarters, and that's what's causing the spread, and that's why you're seeing increased numbers in our communities. As for the legal perspective, I've gotten a number of calls already regarding, well, my mom went to the hospital for X, and she came out, or she contracted COVID virus while in the hospital and subsequently died. Do I have a cause of action? We don't really know what's going to happen. When they say this is a novel virus, it means that it is something that we have not seen before. And generally, when you have a malpractice case, it's based on a violation of some standard of care, something that there's a reasonable basis or should be a known clinical treatment platform for particular diseases. This is all new. So the government, if you've been listening, the federal government and various congressmen and senators have been talking about providing immunity, meaning you cannot sue various healthcare providers who are out there pitching, trying to figure it out, but may have gotten it wrong, and or you may have gone into a space where you have contracted the virus. So it's a lot of uncertainty. It's going to probably be some immunity from litigation down the road. But as we start opening back up, that would be the question of whether we find following principal guidelines. And if, you know, various businesses fail to follow guidelines, or employers require their employees to come back into an environment that's not safe, you have to wonder what would be the legal ramifications from that perspective, and that's yet to be seen.
You brought up a very good point. This is new, and I think that we come to these conversations with all of these expectations of, well, in the past I was able to do X, Y, and Z, so why can't I do that next? You know, and I see these commercials, if I can sue for that, but why can't I sue for this? And when we think about, you know, malpractice suits and different things like that, and it is our limited, it's not just our limited understanding, but it's everybody's limited understanding. This is not just the flu. Going back to what Mrs. Auntie Mamie Tiffin said, this is real. And one of the things that we know that when we are always facing crisis is that we tend to turn to family and or tend to the past experiences that we had. And going into Aunt Sandra and or to my mom, what has your previous experience, like you all have worked with crises, you've worked with water, you've ran cities, what is that expertise, how does it inform how we should be galvanizing as communities to respond to this? Whether it be in communication, whether it be turning to family, what is your thought on that?
Well, good evening. You want to hear Sandra go first, it doesn't matter.
I'll yield to you, Gloria.
Well, I go from because I'm from a structured, been into the city environment and municipal environment, you look for leadership. We have none. We have none from what we would consider the federal government. We have contradictions in what they say and what they do. Then you get to, you know, to the different levels. So who do you really rely on to give you the best information for the citizens, for the public? You have things that are opening now. So what is the obligation of the administrators for their employees? Because our employees, and I'm saying it like I'm still working, are essential for your cities. And what are we doing for them? You know, because, you know, when you think about it, the water you drink, which Sandra can address, the getting the garbage picked up, the things that we don't always consider. We appreciate the doctors and the and those who are our first responders. They're all city employees. And so we have to make sure that they have the accurate testing and the information so they can continue to serve all of the citizens. It's, you know, I've become concerned about those that are homeless, that have no one to buy for them, and so they continue to spread it. And I was reading an article today about the immigrants, how they're being treated and sent back. So there's a whole list of things that we can start thinking about that need to be addressed, and what are we going to do about it. I'm a product of the 60s, so I'm like some of those people that don't trust. They developed all these different tests, and it's like, what actually are you testing? I don't mind getting the test, but when they're speeding up the vaccines, what are you putting into my body? I spoke to a gentleman today that I was riding, and he was telling me that his sister, the landlord, and her person that she rents from was saying was getting ready to take some Clorox. I said, and put it in her vinegar.
Oh, my God.
So who do you trust? So, you know, it's like Phyllis and everyone has said, you pray, but you got to read and try to decipher. And it's a lot of information out there. It's very confusion. I think about the Temptation song, a ball of confusion. I'm going to yield time to Sandra.
Well, good evening, everyone. And this sister circle, we have had a number of conversations about the coronavirus. We check on each other weekly. I can say that with regards to COVID-19 and the impact on the Black and Brown community, for me, this has been devastating. I wake up in the morning and I say, am I living a nightmare? When I go to the grocery store, I see we are all wearing masks, some gloves. We are 6 feet apart, and in some cases, we're 12. You drive around, and you see what is happening in our community. When we talk about how it has impacted us, I'm the oldest of 10 children, and I have family members in West Palm, Tallahassee, and other places, very concerned about their health. I'm currently visiting with my mom, who is 86 years old, at high risk. So for me, my concern has been my mom, her health care, family members, and others. When we talk about planning, my understanding from reading various articles, social media, I agree with Gloria and others. We have not had a plan of action that would ease any concerns that our citizens have here in America, because I believe that our White House and others have failed us because they haven't had a plan of action. I worked in an organization. We had to prepare for hurricanes for my entire career. We had to educate essential employees as well as the non-essentials as to how to prepare for a hurricane. You had to have a plan of action. We currently do not have a plan of action that impacts everyone. Some are lifting restrictions, some are not. And it's causing a lot of confusion in terms of caring for your loved ones, whether they're in West Palm, Tallahassee, Atlanta, or wherever. So I think that in terms of education, again, is critical in terms of the outreach, in terms of helping those who don't have any resources. We have not heard a plan that will help those who are in need. And many of them are black and brown. And when it comes to the unemployment figures, look at the data. When you see the data, it's impacting us more so than others in terms of there's a woman who said, I am now unemployed, have been employed. I am $3,000 in arrears. And they're telling me when you get your job back, then you can pay us. Well, that's not going to help her. Not at all. Because it's just increasing what she owes and she'll never catch up. So we need to have more assistance provided. And yes, education is important, but where are the resources?
Yes, that's very, very important. I know I know we have a birthday girl on the phone right now, so I do want to take a moment to acknowledge that birthdays are very important. Especially in these hard times, we all have to take a moment to celebrate and, you know, break away from this a little bit. So I definitely want to say happy birthday to Miss Rose.
Yes. So during the process of Sister Circle on the Real Sean Ross Talk Show, Little Glow, you want to introduce this next young lady who can sing happy birthday to our Aunt Roseanne Brown, my Ethan Stiles sister? Go ahead, Little Glow. You want to introduce this young lady because she's phenomenal. She's a songstress. Go ahead, Little Glow. You want to go ahead. Bring Cuzzo on. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Happy birthday to you. We love you. We do. May God keep you true. Happy birthday to you. Now, because she shares the birthday with the one and only Stephen Morris, I'm going to sing it like this. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday. Enjoy your day, Aunt Rosa.
That was awesome. Yes,
that was awesome. That was awesome. And listen, that was awesome. That was the feather moment. That was a birthday that, hey, makes me feel special that someone pauses in the midst of a nationwide radio show and takes the time to acknowledge my birthday. You know what that says? That says love. And that,
yes,
that is the remedy that we have to figure out how to get back into our people to save our people. You know, we got to have, we don't have the, Lord have mercy if I could bring Harriet back. We don't have the Underground Railroad anymore, but we're going to have an underground highway so that those who look like us, who are in positions to gather the information and know the truth about information, to know where there are resources, trust me, available. They know where the resources are. They know what the keys are to unlock those resources. So some of that love is got to be poured back into our communities. We almost have to have an underground information highway that we have to start identifying those folk who we know we can have confidence in, who are in positions to feed us information. And then we got to feed that information along and make sure it gets to our people. Sometimes our people are dying. And you know why they're dying? They'll be dying because of a lack of love. Nobody cares. They're out there on their own. The big guy government, they know they'll never be able to affect that. So they just give up. They just lay down and they die of broken hearts and loneliness. We got to put some love back into this. And we basically got to do just like Harriet did to save her people. It has to be a network of us, for us, by us, to us.
All right. Yeah.
I want to interject real quick just so, you know, that you said something about giving back and talking about going back. Well, I got the songs that I'm going to play, and then when we come back from it, I'm going to say a quick snippet of it. We're going to get everybody's opinion about what they were doing back then during the song. I'm going to give you a quick snap, and then we're going to go into our speed round, actual serious questions being in the hot seat in the real Sean Ross Library Talk Show. You're only going to have 30 seconds to respond, and we're going to get these questions in, and we're going to take you way back, back down memory lane. So hold tight, ladies, and remember that your rebuttal when we come back. The ladies, I'll be turning it back over to Lisa and Lil Glow for your rebuttals and speed round. Here we go. Because we want to hear everybody's voice. Here we go, y'all. Here we go. Here we go.
Took me way back, back down memory lane. I see the happiness, I see the pain. Where am I? Back down memory lane. I see her standing there, such a happy, happy pair. Love beyond compare. Look at there, look at there. Slipping back, oh, back down memory lane. I feel the happiness, I feel the pain. Here am I, back down memory lane. I'm in the sunshine, I'm in the rain. But it was over, here I go.
You're listening to E-Water Radio, K-E-W-R-D-B.
Hey, welcome back to the Real Sean Ross Live Radio Talk Show and Jam Session. And I have Sister Soho in me, and we just went down, back down memory lane. And I'm turning it back over because it's sisters. It's all about the sisters today on the Sister Edition of Sister Circle to get their opinions about back down memory lane and going to the speed cycles. We want to hear everybody. Everybody has a voice. That's right. That's right. We love everybody for everybody. Lil Glow and Lisa, take over.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start with Miss Sandra. Miss Sandra, what does that song mean to you and, you know, and your journey in becoming a woman? What does that song, what memories does that bring to you?
Fond memories with my mom and my aunt and my grandparents instilling in me that at the age of 12, my grandfather said, you may see a mountain, but you can climb that mountain. There are obstacles, but you can overcome those obstacles. You just need to believe in yourself, and you can achieve it. But number one, I came from a spiritual family. He said, with God, all things are possible. And that has helped me through my journey.
Awesome, right, awesome. I love it.
And next we're going to go to my mama, Mama Glow, knowing, as Sean mentioned, you being willing as the first African-American queen for San Francisco State. You understand sacrifice. You understand not only struggles, but also coming together. So we talked about going back down memory lane. When we think about Ahmaud Arbery and what is happening right now to his brother being gunned down in the street, as you think back down memory lane, what do you see as a way for us to either honor his life, as you tell us, we're not making enough noise? What from your memory lane helps us to think about what we need to be doing moving forward?
Well, let me talk about two things. One thing is togetherness as a community. When we were at San Francisco State and we did the strike, in fact, I'm reading a book now by Bernard Springer, wrote talking about what was happening when we came together, blacks and third world communities, to make sure that we got educated. And there was beatings, the police was there, and I always think about San Francisco State and how we supported each other as a community. And I think that's where we got to be back there right now. I mean, I went to Black Panther Party meetings. I went to the Muslim meetings. We were all together. And to stand together, even against the then it was worse, if you can believe that. And I also think we have to have young leaders come, because I always talk to Angie about, you know, we're over 50, you know, and we're tired. So we need those young folks, because I think about her grandfather, Reverend Shuttlesworth, and Dr. King. They were in their 20s and 30s when they were going up against Bull Connor and all that. But the communities came together, and they made things happen. And that's what we got to do now. You know, with Ahmaud, that is not the only thing. I always say our black men are an endangered species, and we got to protect us all.
That right there, that'll preach a whole sermon. And so when you just mentioned that, it reminds me of a couple of things, but the spook who sat by the door, right? And so as you all mentioned about being in these various positions of power, but also the idea of community and building that trust, I also think about the mentorship, right? So there's people there to guide them along the way. And so Mrs. Mamie Kistner, as we're talking about solutions for a community, I got somebody on the line who wanted to surprise you and say hello and love on you, and they have a question for you.
Oh, boy.
This is Katrina Long Robinson. Where you at, love?
Who is this?
This is Katrina Long Robinson's on the line.
Hi, Katrina.
So, Katrina, if you can just unmute your phone. You served as such a great mentor for her that she wanted to know, as you go back down memory lane, what has mentorship meant for you and who's been there for you as a woman leader?
Great question. Well, I thank you, Katrina. Thanks for joining us. You know, I had to look in my household. I had to look at a mother who raised 9 children and who kept her home together even in a very difficult time. My mother was born in 1925. So my mother was very serious about her girls being strong, educated, and independent. So I start with my mother, who was really my backbone. And then my oldest sister, who is still living in Atlanta, Pearl France, who was in the military. Her husband was in the military over 30, almost 40 years. And the strength that she showed me moving around the world and
having a family yet, always being available to mentor me when I needed to pick up the phone. And then thirdly, a woman who's been in my life over 35 years, and especially in the civil rights movement, was Zernona Clayton, who is turning 90 years old in August, but is in her office at 3 o'clock in the morning and is finished work by 9 or 10 when we're still sleeping. Those kind of women who were courageous, who are fighters, who believed that education was important, but also were adventurous, never took a back seat to any man, felt that they were qualified and to sit at the table. So those are the kind of women that influence, still influence. And one of the things I always say to young women that I talk to all the time, and you all know that, is, listen, don't worry about what other people are doing. Take care of what you feel you need to be doing for your community, and also pay it forward. Who are you mentoring? You know, look around and see the young women who need your, and young men who need mentoring in your environments and areas that you live in. You know, it's important if we get mentors at a very early age in the Black community, it can change your life and your direction. The influence of someone who really cares and who has been out in the world and experienced things in the world as a woman of color can instantly change your direction because it exposes you to things that you normally would not have. But you also have to have passion. A lot of people run around and say that they want to be a mentor or they're mentoring people, but it takes passion and it takes time and it takes being available for those calls when they need you or being there beside them when they're going through things. That, to me, is the importance of mentoring.
Thank you.
Awesome.
I was muted. Now we have your mentee. Yes. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Angie. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, no. Go ahead.
No, I was saying I was muted, and so thank you so much. I agree. I have two mentors. Thank you, Angie, for inviting me. Dr. Shuttlesworth, sorry, thank you. But I have two mentors on the phone, Mamie Kisner as well as Ms. Sandra Turns. And as you were saying, it takes that true mentorship that helps to guide us as young women of color to make sure we are continuing to walk in integrity just as women that we have been able to see do the work. And so I appreciate that. But I do have another question. Dr. Shuttlesworth, is it okay if I can ask Ms. Brown a question from an elected official standpoint?
Absolutely.
So, I currently serve Ms. Brown as vice mayor in the city of Westlake, the 39th municipality here in Palm Beach County. And I heard each of you ladies speak with such conviction and passion. In regards to, you're very right, we have dropped the ball as leaders from that federal level going down on effective communication. And so I would like to know what is your suggestion around improving communication as elected officials on the local level? What can we do to convey information to our constituents and constituents within our county?
Okay, thank you for that question. And some of the things. Let me just be honest. Okay, I'm not gonna try and dress this up. We have become so content at putting the information in a centralized place so
correct.
That it is available for the people to come and get the information. We have become so good at that we have lost sight of the fact that everybody ain't coming to that centralized place where you put that information. And there's some who come, unless there's somebody to interpret it for them, because we get all, you know, we have to make it politically correct when we put it out there. We have to make sure it is legally tight and all of that good stuff. And so they may access it on the website, and they may read it, and then they look at it and go, okay, in the absence of additional information, what does this mean? We have to be willing, and I've never been an elected official, but I was blessed to be able to serve some very dedicated elected officials and assist them in their communications with their constituents. But we have to be willing to, I'm sorry, it is, you know, yeah, it's the age of technology. Everybody's got a computer. Everybody's got a smartphone. Everybody's, you know what, everybody doesn't. And then some who do don't know how to take advantage of it. We still have to be willing to go out. At the local level, we can do that. We can do that. Pure government should, it really can only happen at the local level, because that's the place where you can really touch the people and the people can really touch you. There needs to be more willing to go out into the communities. If there's a senior center and you know there are some seniors that go to that center, drop into that center and chat with those seniors. Tell them what's going on. Make them aware of the resources that are available in their community. Listen to their questions. Tell them how to get answers to questions. Yeah, we put it. You put it on the back of the water bill. You put it all over the website. You do a news release and all this kind of stuff. But it's not getting to the person who needs the information. Elected officials have to be willing to go to the people. Go to the community centers. Miss Jones, who lives on 8th Street, may be willing to have some of her folk, who, her neighbors, come in if someone was willing to stop by and chat with them. You say, well, she only had 10 people there. How am I going to affect the masses by talking to just 10 people? Well, how many people will those 10 people talk to?
Yeah.
If somebody talks to them and gives them the real information, they feel special. They feel informed. Now they are a quasi, if you will, community leader, because now they're the one who has, you know, information is powerful. They have the information. They can go share the information. Somebody else has it. They go and share. So really we have to be willing to step away from technology, particularly on the local level, and go where the people are. We got to stop going to churches when it's time to campaign. Drop into the church and offer to stay for 15 minutes, 30 minutes after the service, and just entertain. Stand out in the parking lot. You know the best meetings happen in the parking lot. Be willing to stand in that parking lot for 30 minutes and just chat with anybody who may have a question. They may not ask it publicly, but they'll come up to you and ask you privately. And that's enough.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the question, Katrina, and thank you so much, Aunt Roseanne, for that. And I am sure and can say publicly on here that your mentors, Sandra and Amy, are extremely proud because you do that. Consistently, as we have been in COVID, Katrina and her crew have been providing virtual platforms and have been doing whatever is necessary to be there to support the people. And then we also think about, when you talk about the church and the influence of that, I think back to my grandfather, and he used to say, if you can't vote, then you can't sit in my pews. And he was very, very intentional about the relationships between politics and the church. So speaking of somebody who I've been in the church with for a very long time, we also want to open up the lines. We have a question from a caller who also was our songstress for the evening, Miss Audie B. What's
that? I want to say thank you so much for that song, Back Down Memory Lane. Because when that song came out, I was young. But what I do remember when that song came out is that there was a lot of love. And then there was accountability. each one will reach one to teach one, so that we will all be on the same page. We would all have the same information. But what has happened with the internet and all this media stuff is that we have gotten too complacent and will not come about out of our comfort zones. We need to get out of our comfort zones, like Granddaddy used to say, and shake up some things. We have to be accountable for our children, for their knowledge, for their support. We get very upset because of the killings that are going on. But what we have to say to ourselves, what did I do to make it better? What could I have done to make it better? And what will I do to make it better? It's not time to be complacent with whatever is being broadcast on the internet or what's being broadcast over the radio. It's time to go back to basics. We were taught right and wrong, not only from our parents, but from our aunts, our uncles, our grandparents, our parents' friends. It used to be if you got in trouble, you got a whooping by your mama, your daddy. If your granddaddy found out, he whoops you. If your grandma found out, she whoops you. If your aunt or uncle found out, they whooped you. Sometimes it's good to go back to basics and re-foundation all that's going on. Our young people right now, they don't need judgment. They need guidance. And the guidance they're getting is from these rappers that don't respect women, that don't respect hard work. There's nothing wrong with getting your hands dirty. When you put yourself, your whole self, in there, make it positive. Make it to where it can grow and it can go to the next generation. But as you're doing this, teach what happened in the past.
Thank you for that. That's
forward. And change if you don't know what your past was. There were so many people that gave up their lives, their freedom, just so that we could be where we are today. Back to basic is not bad at all. But what we have to do is get out of our comfort zone.
Thank you for that, Adi. Okay. Just because we're short on time and Lisa has two more questions, but I wanted to highlight two very important things that you said about not only just sometimes people don't know how to get out of their comfort zone. So one easy strategy that I learned is that, yes, your goal should be so big that it scares you, but your next step should always be something that you feel like you can achieve. Otherwise, you'll never take the next step. And we want people to be moving forward. And when you talked about shared values, the reason this sisterhood is so strong is as we're listening, they're all brilliant. They all respect everything that each one of them brings to the table. And so Lisa has a great question for Phyllis, and then we're going to wrap this baby on up. It's been an amazing session. Lisa?
Yes.
And so, thanks again, Artie.
I'd like to ask you a question since you are in the medical field. You are a nurse. You've been a nurse. You've studied nursing. What advice do you have for people to just do self-care that they can be better represented when they go into a hospital? And, you know, just, I don't know if that made sense, but I'll rephrase it if it didn't. Phyllis, are you there?
Did she?
Well, we can come back to Phyllis when she jumps on. To close on out, we were going to ask for everybody to just give us some closing remarks and love. If we can do it in 30 seconds, we're just going to shout out your name. And when we come back to Aunt Phyllis, we'll give her that question again, Lisa. Is that okay?
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
All righty. So, Aunt Roseanne, 30 seconds. What's your message to the people around sisterhood?
Love. That's my message.
The Bible says love covers over a multitude of evil. Look around you and find somebody who just looks like they need love, and figure out how to give them love. You can't hug them, but that's okay. Just figure out how to give them love. Put a little something in their hand. Give them a little nugget of wisdom that you know helped you along your way. Do something that says love.
Thank you. Good stuff. Thanks. I love it. Love in action. Aunt Sandra.
I would say, as women living out our faith in an increasingly busy world, it's important to spend time each day in a peaceful time period and use your voice.
Yes. Knowing that we are even worthy of peace is a big deal. Most women don't even feel worthy of that, so thank you for that piece. I'm Mamie Kistner.
Get out and vote. When you don't vote, you have no voice, and you give the vote to the opposition. That's my first message. My second one is surround yourself by positive people who are trying to make a difference in this world by helping others. Pray with other people. Find women who are like you and have the same types of goals and aspirations. But more than anything else, let's change our America with our vote in November.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Mama Glow, what you got to say about your sisterhood? What should we be doing?
I think one of the, and I got 30 seconds, we don't judge each other. We all give each other space to have diverse opinions. We all don't have to go the same way, don't have to think the same way, and we don't judge each other, and that's the one thing. And one of the last thing I want to say is about leadership is not condemning other people in the media. Pick up a phone if there's a mayor or there's a city administrator that you need help from. Don't judge people in the media, through the media.
Pick up the phone. Oh, my God. Sure. The piece on sisterhood, and we have one argument, and our friendships are over nowadays. So, Lisa, what do you have to say about this in this amazing show we've had tonight?
It was amazing, and I would love to invite you ladies back. My daughter has a page she just put up about this, called The Millennial, The Black Woman Struggle for the Millennial Black Woman. These are all people under 25. My daughter's 24. So she set up this website. We have now 5,000 young women on there struggling to figure out how to survive, not just because of COVID, just all the things that they're facing in life. So I would love to have you ladies and have some of them come on with you, and that way you can share a little knowledge with some of our younger millennials. Would be great.
Yeah, we would love
to do that.
Sounds like
awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah. Do we have Aunt Phyllis back on the line? Okay, well, we're going to hold, like you said, hold space and grace. And my last comment is just in gratitude. These women have been consistent and persistent in their push for us to be great. So thank you for showing up. Thanks for giving us your wisdom, your love, not only publicly but privately. I love each and every one of you. Sean Rouse, how we call
all right, out? All right. Yes, indeed. Ladies, I genuflex for my Nubian queens. My mother's a civilization. I mean, the beacon of light that y'all have sowed seed into me. I genuflect in your presence. I love you. And just, I promise you, with the power that is invested in me by the man upstairs, that we will have Sister Circle Part 2, 2-hour edition, in which I will unleash every inch of social media expertise to make this bigger than life, and that this dream will come true, that we'll bring Sister Circle into everyone's household, that everybody will know everybody's name, will be a household name in the next 24 months. And in Jesus' name, I pray. Yes, 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 indeed. It's been a bitch, and I see it, and it's coming. I thank you, ladies. I thank you, Lil Glow. I thank you, Lisa. And I thank all my aunties. I just can't say enough. Thank you, Mama. Thank you, aunties.
And I need
love you.
Honorary invite to the family reunion.
You gotta come to the front arena. You are a big sister, Lisa. You know you gotta be at the reunion. And Lisa will be a producer on the TV show, Sister Circle. We ain't gonna let you put the working title in. We can keep Hollywood waiting, and everybody just wanting to see the Sister Circle Part 2. Stay tuned, y'all. I love y'all. Again, ladies, thank y'all very much. And we were over an hour, but thank God with the power to be. Lisa's on the phone, so this whole show will be aired, and that part. So, but tomorrow the world will know. Thank you. Be here next time, Sister Circle Part 2. And always, ladies, I know, I am a bruh. Roo, roo, roo. And we out of here. Thank everybody for coming. Love you all. And let's do it again, y'all. But here we go, y'all. You know,
this is a story of famous dogs. But the dog that chases this tale will be busy. Be the clapping dog, rhythmic dog, harmonic dog, house dog, sick dog. Dogs of the world unite, dancing dogs. Yeah, counting dogs, funky dogs.
You're listening to E-Water Radio, KEWRDB.
Hey, thank everyone again. You was in tilt to the real Sean Ross Live Radio Talk Show and Jam Session. Oh, can you dig it, baby? Hey, that was Sister Circle Part 1. Wait till you see Sister Circle Part 2, baby. We are in the building. And anyone before, I disenchant Little Glow. Thank you. Lisa, thank you. Didn't come, y'all were incredible. Phyllis, Mama Glow, Aunt Mamie, Aunt Sandra, Aunt Roseanne. It don't get no better than that. And shout out to Aunt Mary.
I love your...
Roo-roo. Thank you, Aunt Mamie.
All right.
Mama. Bye-bye. See y'all in the next one.
Thank you,
everybody, for listening. We out of here. Episode's over. Roo-roo. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.